Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikail Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikail is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Inshallah, check out the courses there, and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikail Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-hudah wa tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina ya rabbil alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-hudah wa tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina ya rabbil alameen. Bismillah. So we're starting our, third class. Inshallah, where we discuss Imam Sha'rani's Adab al-Suhbah. And in this book, Imam Sha'rani, rahimahullah, he writes over 60 samad rites or etiquettes of friendship or brotherhood. And the idea behind learning these is that every blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain hukuk or rights that come along with that blessing. And one of the key things that we see leaving our communities is this concept of brotherhood and sisterhood. So perhaps by studying these adab, perhaps by learning these adab and implementing them in our lives one by one. Come in, inshallah. Implementing them in our lives. This area here is not like dangerous. You won't fall in if you like sit there. It won't hurt you, inshallah. So if anyone needs to, like, you guys can come right there, inshallah. So the idea is by learning these and implementing them, the intention is that we start to bring that brotherhood and sisterhood back inside some of our relationships and our interactions with one another in our classrooms, wherever we study, in our masajid, in our community centers. The idea is to kind of learn these adab. And quite frankly, as I've learned them and studied them with you, they've just been eye-opening the way that we should ideally be interacting with one another. And learning these has just been an amazing experience, inshallah. So let's continue, inshallah. Imam Sha'rani, number 11, Imam Sha'rani, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يُثْنِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي غَيْبَتِهِ وَفِي حُضُورِهِ بِطَرِيقِ الشَّرْعِ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَزِيدُ فِي صَفَاءِ الْمُوَدَّةِ. He says, and the 11th haq, or right, that one brother has on a brother or a sister has on another sister, is that you praise them in their absence. Number 11 is that you praise them in their absence. So what this means simply is that when we're in gatherings where certain people aren't around, that we get in the habit of speaking well about those people who aren't present. And then he says, وَفِي حُضُورِهِ بِطَرِيقِ الشَّرْعِ. He says, and even praising that person in their presence, بِطَرِيقِ الشَّرْعِ. Now, what he means here is, I'm sure all of us are very familiar with those ahadith that talk about don't praise someone in their presence. There are so many ahadith. قَطَعْتَ عُنُوكَ. Someone was praised in the presence of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says, قَطَعْتَ عُنُوكَ. You know, you cut their neck off when you did that. And then the Prophet ﷺ in another hadith, You know, he said, if someone praises you in your face, throw dirt in their face. You know, so one of the scholars, he used to say, you know, so if I praise you in your face, you know, throw money at me, because money is like nothing to you, right? It's like dirt, so you could throw money at me. Wallahu a'lam. So the point being, though, there are many ahadith that talk about this prohibition of praising people in their face. But we have to understand this in context, because many people, they need that boost. You know what I'm saying? They need to hear good things about themselves to keep them going on that track, becoming a better Muslim. They need to hear those things when they're studying to keep going and be a better student. They need to hear positive things about themselves, especially when we see the rate of depression going up so high in our communities. It doesn't hurt to pat someone on the back, say something positive, and push them along that path, right? So the reason why it's prohibited in the first place is what? What's the reason? Munir, what's the reason? Yeah, why it's not allowed. Exactly. The reason is because of the arrogance. But Imam Ghazali and all the scholars, they say, if you don't fear that you're going to cause arrogance in that person. Now, if you know the person's head is getting big, almost big enough they're going to float away because it's filled with so much hot air, then you know you're not supposed to be praising that person in their face. But we're not talking about that situation. We're talking about when this is just going to be enough to keep that person going and keep them moving. There's one hadith in Tabarani that Imam Sha'rani, he narrates. And he says, when a true believer, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a true believer is praised, he says, mu'min yani al-kamil, when a true believer is praised in his face, rabba al-imanu fi qalbihi, subhanallah. He says, when a true believer is praised to their face, their iman and their heart grows higher and higher. How so? Now, me and some of the brothers were having a little breakout session last week. And I don't see one of the brothers. So perhaps if you were with us, you may be able to help us. But how is it that iman can increase by someone praising you in your face? How can iman increase from that? Eunice.
Do you think of what for
lesson? MashaAllah, that's my student right there, yo. That's my student right there. The sisters didn't hear you. Say it again.
Because you think of
love. Yeah, so what he says here, he says, I لِأَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَامِلٌ, because the true believer, إِذَا مُدِحَ, when he's praised in his face, شَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَى سَتْرِهِ نَقَائِسِهِ. He praises Allah for what? He praises Allah, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala satara naqa'isihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered his faults. So, you know, one brother was telling me a story last week. You know, there was a Hajj group that Umar Sulaiman was taking, Sheikh Umar Sulaiman took a Hajj group. And in that, towards the end of it, he was giving like rewards for different things. I don't know if you ever went with him, but like, you know, cutest couple or, you know, most helpful person, things like that, right? After the end of Hajj. So there was this one, they were giving the award for most khidmah, right? And there was this one particular sister who did like this amazing amount of khidmah. And we talked about the virtues of khidmah last week. But she was just serving everyone the whole time. And this, I think it was you told us this.
My sister.
Yeah, exactly. So everyone may not have heard this. But what did she say when she got that?
She said that the sister was just very, very kind. And she was sitting next to her. And my sister had won, like, the funniest haji.
Yeah.
She was like, woo! Like, she was all excited about it. When it came time for most helpful, the woman, everyone was like, was happy. You know?
But what was her response?
Her response was, Ya Allah, like, make me what these people think of me.
Yes, exactly. And some even make the dua, O Allah, la tuhasibibi bima yaqulu fiyya. Oh Allah, do not take me to account for what they're saying. Meaning, don't hold me to the standard of what they actually think about me. But oh Allah, make me like the way they see me. Right? So if a person is praising you to your face, and all you're saying is Alhamdulillah. Alhamd means all praises to Allah. These blessings you see, like if you be honest with yourself, you know if it wasn't for Allah, you couldn't even do that. And if it wasn't for Allah covering, the people would probably see something else other than what they see happening right now. So back to this hadith, what does it say? إِذَا مُدِحَ الْمُؤْمِنُ, when a true believer is praised in their face. Rabba iman, al-iman rabba fi qalbihi. Iman grows, not arrogance grows. Arrogance only grows when the person feels that it was me that gained this blessing. I was the one that did this. Like Qarun and Fir'aun, like they felt it was them, right? So it's a beautiful thing. Basically, the thing is this. Nowadays, to increase the love and muhabba, brothers and sisters, we really, really need to get in that habit of not tearing people down, but building people up. And part of that building them up is either face-to-face or in their absence when they're not present. So he says, continuing, he says, شَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَتْرِ نَقَائِسِهِ وَإِذْحَارِ مَحَاسِنِهِ فَيَزِيدُ إِيمَانَ بِذَٰلِكَ. So his iman increases like that. Okay, number 12. Number 12. Imam Sha'rani, he says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ أَنْ يُكْرِمَهُ إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَيْهِ بِأَنْ يَتَلَقَّاهُ بِالتَّرْحِيبِ وَتَلَاقِ الْوَجْهِ وَيَأْخُذُ بِعُنُقِهِ إِنْ كَانَ رَجُلًا وَيُفَرِّشُ لَهُ شَيْئًا يَقِيهِ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. He says, number 12, yo, This is such common sense but beautiful teachings that we find from the Prophet ﷺ. I'll tell you a story before we go into the English definition of this. Adi bin Hatim was the son of Hatim al-Ta'i. Hatim al-Ta'i lived before Islam had come, but Hatim al-Ta'i was known for what? Who knows? He was known for charity, meaning he was like known. The word charity was like Hatim al-Ta'i. Like, that's how you literally say charity. Hatim al-Ta'i, he was known for that. They say, ذُرِبَ مَثَلًا. Like, he was the example of that, right? So his son was coming to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, this is like Bill Gates' son, guys. This is like silver, you know, silver spoon. Coming to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and talk about Islam. And the moment the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met him, Adi ibn Hatim, he says, I saw things from him just from when I met him and we walked to his home and we sat down. By the time we sat down, I knew he was a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about this for a moment. He met him in the street. Someone came. They said, Adi ibn Hatim is here. He gets up. He goes to Adi ibn Hatim. He meets him. He says, I've been waiting for you. I've been missing you. I knew you were going to come. How's everything? Come with me. He grabs his hand and he's walking with him. And while they're walking, they meet an old lady on the street. And this old lady just stops the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Young man, hold on. And she starts giving it to him. Giving him the business. You know, she's just going at it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there. Mm-hmm, sure. No problem. That's difficult. And here, who's sitting with you? Someone who you're about to give da'wah to. Bill Gates' son. And this old lady sitting here stopping you right now taking, and Adi ibn Hatim says, he sat with her for so long that I said to myself, this is not a king, this can only be nabuwah. Because this isn't the characteristic of a king, to sit there and just take that for so long and be into it and be there, be hadir. So then he says, then we went home. In the moment we went home, he didn't have much in his house, but he took his only pillow and the only thing he could lay down, and he laid it down and he said, sit down, sit down. And he sat on the dirt. And I said, no, you sit here. This is your house. You're the, you know, prophet of Allah. You sit. He said, no, sit. I insist. You must sit. And he said, right there I knew that this man isn't kingdom. This isn't muluk. He says, he's not malik. This is Nubuwa. He knew right there. So now I want to read what Imam Sha'rani, he says. He says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ, number 12, is that you honor someone when they come and meet you. You know, you walk in the masjid, and there was a show back in my jahiliyyah days where the introduction to the show was, everyone knows your name. I don't know who may remember that. All right, there's a few old school that know that. And you remember that, right? So like the theme song to this show, it was one of those late shows, like 6 p.m., whatever. Anyways, it's just jahiliyyah, guys, jahiliyyah, okay? And but the theme song was like this place. All right, it was Cheers, okay? Cheers, I don't know if you guys know that. But this place was, the theme song was that everyone knows your name. So the point he's saying here is that you walk into brotherhood and people show happiness to see you. They honor you. They're like, what's up, girl? How you been? How's everything? What's going on, bro? How's Bayina treating you? What's going on? How's Qalam treating you? How's everything? Haven't seen you all. Yo, last video on Instagram was hot. I loved it, yo. Kidat was off the hook. Yo, how you doing, Subhi? Like, you know what I'm saying? You show all this happiness when you see the other person. And he goes, and he says, بِأَنْ يَتَلَقَاهُ بِالتَّرْحِيبِ. And you're like, yo, come in, come in. Come sit down. Yo, it's been a while. Come sit down. SubhanAllah, what happens when you feel that type of welcoming? And we talked about this, that you go to certain masjids and you don't feel none of that. You don't feel none of that, nothing like that. Then you walk in the little inner city, small masjid, barely keeping the lights on, and it feels like home sweet home. Because an old auntie who doesn't even know you treats you like your own daughter. So SubhanAllah, one of the problems we get into these mega masjids and centers that are huge is we lose that feeling, right? We lose that. So Imam Sha'rani is reminding us that no matter how large of a community, then he goes, continue at number 12. He says, وَتَلَاقَةِ الْوَجْهِ. Like, show a happy face. Like we walk, wallahi brothers, you walk into a community center and it's just like, everyone's screw facing me. I don't know, is that a Texas term? Is that in Dallas, y'all, do y'all say it? Oh, that's East Coast. Okay, screw facing, how do you say like mean mugging? Okay, mean mugging, is that it? Okay, mean mugging. I'm trying to keep up with the slang, guys, but I'm doing horrible. My wife knows what's up. Okay, cool. Mean mugging, right? Like, yo, seriously, you walk into and you want smiles, but you don't get that. So he says, وَتَلَاقَةِ الْوَجْ. And he says, grab your brother by his neck. He literally says, grab him. You know, someone grabs you by the shoulder. What's going on? You know, SubhanAllah, how that feeling is. And then he says, put something down for the person to sit and welcome them. Okay? I'm going to skip because there's one more that's connected to this that I want to talk about. So I'm going to skip forward and then we'll come back, inshallah. There's a specific one that has a beautiful connection with this. Samihni. F1. Okay. Yes. Oh, it was actually the next one. I'm sorry. SubhanAllah. It is the next one. The next one goes beautifully with this one. That was number 12, correct? Number 13, he says, and this is something I really want us to think about on a deeper level. On a deeper level. He says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُوَسِّعَ لَهُ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ إِذَا رَآهُ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يَزِيدُ تَقْوِيَةَ الْمُوَدَّةِ. He says, the next right that a brother or a sister has on another brother or sister is that you wasi'a, you spread out in your gathering, you make room, idha ra'ahu, when you see that person come. And of course, there's a Quran ayah that speaks about this. And then he narrates, so and then he says that increases love. So he said, you know, people come to the gathering and the moment you see the person, you make space for the person. Now listen to this. This hadith is absolutely beautiful. There's a hadith in Shu'b al-Iman by Imam Bayhaqi. And the hadith is this. Wa'ithal bin Khattab. He says that dakhala rajulan ila Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That one time a person came and sat with the Prophet, came to the masjid to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa huwa fil masjid. دَخَلَ رَجُلًا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. A man came in to meet the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was in the masjid. Beautiful hadith. So, yes, sit down. Okay. وَهُوَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ فَقَاعِدًا. قَاعِد, sitting down. فَتَزَحْزَحَ لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ. The hadith says that the Prophet ﷺ تَزَحْزَحَ, like scooted over. scooted over. Okay? He scooted over. And then the hadith says, فَقَالَ الرَّجُلُ, the man said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي الْمَكَانِ سَعَةً. It's like there's no one else in this masjid. The masjid's empty. There's so much space. He says, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي الْمَكَانِ سَعَةً. There's room. You didn't have to move. Before I read the Prophet ﷺ's reply, I want everyone to really picture this. The Prophet ﷺ is sitting down in the masjid by himself. Probably maybe two or three other people in the masjid sitting down. A man walks into the masjid. In the moment the Prophet ﷺ sees the man walk in, the Prophet ﷺ is sitting down. In the moment the Prophet ﷺ sees the person walk in, the Prophet ﷺ, he kind of scoots and moves a bit. Right? He moves. And the man says, Ya Rasulullah, inna fil makan sa'at, and there's plenty of room here, Ya Rasulullah. There's plenty of room here. Listen to the reply of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ replied and said, inna lil muslim haqtan, idha ra'ahu akhuhu, an yatazahzaha lahu. It is the right of one Muslim on another that when you see them, you at least move for them. I don't think we get what this means. It's very powerful if you get what he's saying. Think of the opposite. We're sitting here, brother walks in, and I don't even move. I don't even move. As if I didn't even feel their presence come in. As if nothing happened. As if the AC just turned on or something. Nothing changed. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ is saying, no. When you're sitting somewhere, you're somewhere, and someone walks in, the haq of that person, whether there's a tight space or not, that's irrelevant. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ, the masjid is empty, but he moves for him. Now, what's interesting is this. Albert Mehraban. Mehraban, in 1970, did some of the leading work on body language and emotional intelligence and communication. And one of the things that he came to discover, and more work was done in the 80s on this, that he came to this conclusion that when it comes to emotional communication, when it comes to emotional communication and telling how we feel other people, how we feel to other people, write this down. 7% of it is verbal. 7% is verbal. 38% vocal tone. And 55% body. 55% body. Right. Yes. It's right, I know. So what he's saying and what he goes through is that, listen to his quote, he says, touching, position, posture, gesture can outweigh words of the messenger conveying to people. When a person walks in, salam alaikum. Salam alaikum is not as powerful as you actually moving. Because the person walked in. Like for me, this was very powerful because it's funny, whenever our teachers would kind of walk in the room, like it's funny, we would be already in class ready, but the moment they would walk in, it was just as if like everyone just like something would move us. So when I was reading this hadith and shared it with one of my colleagues, he reminded, he said, SubhanAllah, that reminds me of when we used to be in the class, and the moment the teacher would open the door, everyone would just be like, just move out of respect, right? But the Prophet ﷺ saying this is haq of a Muslim. Now you've walked into places and it's like they didn't even know you were there. Seriously, come on. I've got this complaint before. Like I went to the masjid, I don't think they realized I was even there. They kept speaking their own language. They didn't speak, I didn't understand a word they said. No one even looked at me. So this to me was a very, very heavy right, because it shows that the Prophet ﷺ understands how the body communicates even more than actual speaking. And this goes back to that concept of the Prophet ﷺ's emotional intelligence. He understands that moving has more power than just speaking. And he understands the power of that. So this right number 13 was that if you see a Muslim come into the gathering, someone walk in, right? Nowhere to sit down. Obviously, that kind of makes sense. Move over. Even that is kind of leaving these days. But husna dhan, inshallah, it'll stay. But the point is, even when there's plenty of space, It's like everyone kind of adjusts themselves to say, hey, we see you coming in. We see you're here. Come in. There's room here for you. So again, I'm going to read this one. I want everyone to kind of take this one home and really understand what's being said here. من حق الأخ على الأخ أن يوسع له في المجلس إلى إذا رآه. What I really want us to take from this is, in general, when you're communicating love and muhabba and care for people, understand that your body speaks louder than your word. As Albert, as the professor says, he says even inflection. Inflection is heavy. Like, okay, I'll give you an example as an African American, okay? You good? You good? You good? What's good? What's good? What's good? All three of those was like three different things. You good? That's totally different than you good? Those had two different, translate those. What was the first one? Let's go. What was the second one? You okay? Yo, and we can go on. You good? What did that mean? I said the same two words. I said the exact same two words. You good? It means something totally different. You good? What am I? Inflection is everything. Body language, tone, inflection, how you sit, how you react. People read that. And people who are especially emotionally intelligent, and you say you love them, but you don't, your body doesn't communicate that. That's the problem, because your body's not communicating the same signal. So now let's study the Prophet ﷺ's body language a little more. One hadith says whenever he talked to someone, he would turn his whole body to the person. Right? Because that gives them something there. That gives them a meaning that's deeper in that. He was a master of communication on that emotional level. So he's telling us all that when a person walks into a majlis, you got to realize that if you just sit there and don't move, without them even saying, they feel something. But the moment someone moves and is like, then they go, oh, okay, they come in, subhanAllah, right? They open the door. Imagine a sister opens that door. She sees everyone sitting. And you look at her and you're like, what happens to her right there? She's like, oh, okay, I can come in. But you don't even look. Then they're like, wait, should I come in or what? See how we communicate without even... And the Prophet ﷺ is saying, إِنَّ لِلْمُسْلِمْ حَقًّا. There is a haq, a right on a Muslim. إِذَا رَآهُ أَخُوهُ. You can write the Arabic. إِنَّ لِلْمُسْلِمْ حَقًّا. إِذَا رَآهُ أَخُوهُ. أَنْ يَتَزَهْزَهُ لَهُ. It is the right of the Muslim that when another Muslim sees him, his right is that his brother at least moves for him. At least, like at the least, just move a bit. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. Comment or question on this one? Yeah, Muhammad.
Yeah, you say how important it is, but then when we go to the masjid, especially on Jummah, you see like 300 men standing in the back, nobody's even moving for them.
Yeah.
Even when the khatib says move.
Yeah, subhanAllah. Yeah. That's heavy. I think people are having a conflict of interest there, you know? Like, you know, I don't want to lose my Jummah, but this brother's coming in. That's a tough one. Yeah, wallahu alam. But in general, I think this shows that the Prophet ﷺ understood that emotion and feeling and acceptance and love is communicated through movement of bodies. It's communicated through movement of the body. And that's something that many of us aren't really literate on. That the communication that I'm expressing to my wife, to my friend, to my classmate, whatever it may be. Khair, inshallah. Any other point? I think there was someone else. Yeah, go ahead.
I think in today's time where everybody's like moved to a screen or a phone or something, I think it's more than ever like valued, you know, like moving of the body.
Yeah.
You don't move, rarely see it now. Like when I'm at home, I'm probably a lot
better. Yeah, because we're not interacting on that level as much. Mm-hmm. Sister Layla?
Do you think some of our current behavior might come from our
sit down.
Obsession with personal property, personal space,
Sit down. What's it called? Man spread? Yeah, no. So that's what I love about Hajj. That's what I love about Hajj. Because as Americans, we generally feel entitled to a bit more space. naturally, right? Like if someone came and sat right in front of you, you're going to be like, yo, what you doing? Right? Like, yo, bro, it's their space. And in Hajj, it happens and you're like, yo, there's room. Why do you got to push? Like, but subhanAllah, those kind of boundaries as Americans, that's thrown out the door in Hajj. Hajj is a totally different experience where those boundaries are gone. And that proximity is totally shut down. It's just, I think it's an interesting phenomenon, right? SubhanAllah. Yeah, yeah. So there's a hadith about that. And you know, that's not right. You came late, just sit down where you get a space at, you know. I mean, there's specific hadith about that. Like, you know, you came late, don't try to get to the front stuff. Sit where you get a spot at, you know. This hadith, guys, I just feel like this hadith for us is giving us a deeper insight into how the Prophet ﷺ told us to read people's feelings. Why are you moving when you don't have to? You're moving just so that person feels welcome into that space around you. So you're reading that feeling. And the Prophet ﷺ teaching that to me is just phenomenal and flooring. Like, just really deep level of understanding of people interacting. Okay, khair. Let's go to the next one, inshallah, which is pretty similar. the next one is number, what number? Yes, number 14. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يُصَافِحَهُ كُلَّ مَا لَقِيهِ بِنِيَةِ التَّبَرُّكِ وَالْإِمْتِثَالِ الْأَمْرِ. This is beautiful because the same scholar, Albert Mehraban, he talks about, in the book that, if you want to look up the book, it's called Silent Message. Silent Messages, written in 1970, worked on again in 1980s. One of the first, the leading in nonverbal communication. Nonverbal communication. He talks about handshakes, right? And he says, because handshakes represent our physical touching and contact, they increase a concept called immediacy between the two people that are shaking hands. And then he says, thus, individuals that have a preparedness to shake hands, right? That's like that other word, right? From 3 weeks ago. Those who are here know it's a little inside joke, okay? Those who prefer to shake hands, he says that it reflects a positivity towards other people in the person that they're interacting with. So I want to read the next one, which is number 14. Imam Sha'rani, he says that one right on another, the one haq on the right of another brother is an yusafihahu kulla ma laqihi, that you shake their hand every time you meet them. You shake their hand every time you meet them. But look what he says next. Biniyatit tabarruk. Biniyatit tabarruk. Oh, it's so beautiful. And the niya, when you shake their hand, is to get barakah from that believer. Wait, hold on. Just to put this in perspective. Imagine you get a chance to shake the Prophet ﷺ's hand. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Imagine you get a chance to shake the hand. Hey. No handshake. Imagine you get a chance to shake the hand of the Prophet ﷺ. What would that be like? What kind of barakah are you trying to take at that moment? What kind of blessing are you trying to receive at that moment? Right? He says, every believer, every brother, every sister whose hand you shake it with the niyyah of getting the barakah from them that they're a believer. Do you know what like level of esteem you have to hold people in? That when you shake their hand, you're thinking that I'm getting a blessing by shaking your hand? Rather than like this little quick, like, you know, people that give you just the fingers? You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, you go to shake hand and they just give you these three squares. That's all you get of mine, right there. What is that? So let me read what Anas bin Malik says about the Prophet ﷺ. He says that the Prophet ﷺ, I want you to think about what Albert Mehraban was saying too, and think about this hadith now. He says that the Prophet ﷺ, whenever a person would ma'akhadha biyadihi, فَيُرْسِلَ يَدَهُ حَتَّى يُرْسِلَهُ الْآخَرُ. That whenever a person, we heard it before, I want you to combine it with this understanding of proximity and what it means. He says that whenever a person would shake the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would never let go until that person started to let go. Now, Dr. Mahraban states is that you'll find that with people who are extra comfortable with people, they don't mind holding the hand there a little longer. But when there's an uncomfortability with people, a social awkwardness, then the person wants that contact over as quick as possible. But the intimacy that was built in the Prophet ﷺ with people is that he's shaking your hand and he's saying, I'm with you here until you're ready to go. Powerful meaning in a handshake. It's not about the strength of it. Like I was reading all this stuff. It's like the strength of the handshake can get you the job and all that stuff. No, there's more to it than that. The Prophet ﷺ, like they're going overboard with this stuff too. It's like for the sisters specifically, like sisters, when you shake the hand on the interview, grip it hard and this stuff, it'll get you the job. And there's some studies, I'm guessing, that support it. I know I was reading it in depth, but I'm not shooting it down. I'm just saying. That's not where I'm taking this. I'm taking this on a different route. I read that too, but I'm taking it on a different route, which is, his was more the length of the handshake and the comfortableness that he had, how comfortable he was to be there locked hands with you until you are ready to let go. That's what I wanted to point out. Now, the continuing of that hadith also says that whenever he met Sahaba, he was the first to extend the handshake. Not like this, come here, you come to me, I don't extend. Like, no, the problem, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, here, come. I'll shake your hand, but you got to come close. No, the hadith is saying the Prophet ﷺ would extend. Now, there are hadith that talk about with one or two hand. Like, there are some narrations that indicate the Prophet ﷺ would, whenever he would shake a hand, he would put your hand between his two hands. But there are other hadith as well that say the Prophet ﷺ would just shake with one hand. But what is Imam Sha'rani, he says? He says two reasons. When you shake a person's hand, the niyyah you should have, which is just a profound understanding of another believer, is tabarruk. Tabarruk means what? What does it mean? To gain blessing. That seems a bit abstract for us here. What does this mean? Can someone explain it to me? Abdullah. Come on, man.
Seeking the, you know, the barakah of the angels and seeing the blessed union of two people, though each other, save Allah.
Okay. Exactly. So remember, the reason that's important is because now you're shaking that person's hand, seeing value in them, seeing that there's something I'm gaining spiritually from shaking this hand of this person. This is, it's a different perspective. So he says, number one, bi niyat tabarruk. Number two, bi imtithal al-amr. And the other niyat is to fulfill the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to shake hands often. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا تَسَافُوا الْمُسْلِمَانِ لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقْ أَكَفَحْهُمَا حَتَّى يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا. Ajib, subhanAllah. Like this union of two believers meeting each other is such has such divine potential. Listen to this hadith. When these two believers meet each other, smile, shake hands, and greet each other. The hadith says, by the time their hands separate, their sins are forgiven. By the time, yo, you get sins forgiven for giving dap, yo. For dapping up. Bro, assalamu alaikum, how you doing? How's everything? Sins forgiven, that love, that bond. It's powerful. Let me tell you an example. Anyone used to play Little League, any sport? Oh, come on. One, brother? Two, thank you. Three. Four, five, six. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Okay, so I used to play Little League football. Little League football, you learn so much. You learn more than football. You learn so much about life. And you know, 3, 4, 5 months on the field, practicing, you know, live hitting contact, competing for positions. emotions, testosterone rises, occasionally fights break out. But team fighting is not allowed in Little League. No way on any team. The moment a fight broke out, what would the coach do? Break them up, run laps together. Right? Does this sound familiar? Am I speaking a completely different language right now? Okay, run laps. These two individuals now, angry at each other, the world, start running laps together. Finally, the coach realizes that punishment has been enough. He calls them up in front of everyone. He gives them a word or two, grabs them by the face mask, right? Gives them a word or two. What does he make them do at the end? Wallahi, that handshake was the end of it. It was hard. If it was a real fight, that handshake was like. But the moment you did it, it was like, all right, cool. We're back. Ali, what's it? Ibn Miller? Ali?
Yeah.
Ali Ibn Miller, right?
Ibn Abi Miller.
Yes, in, subhanAllah. Jersey.
Atlantic City,
thank you. Met the brother, beautiful brother. We all saw the video of him breaking up the fight. He was on Steve Harvey's show. His video went viral because he broke up the fight, right? What did he make them do at the end of the... That handshake has power. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Like, you read this from the Prophet ﷺ and you're like, oh, whatever. Yeah, okay, cool. But this video that went viral of stopping inner city fights ends with Ibn Miller understanding that in order to bring their hearts together, all I have to do is get them to dap up. Once they shake hands, it's gone. Now, you want to hear something even more beautiful? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Tasafahu, fa'innahu tadhhabul ghalb." Shake hands because it takes hatred out the hearts. Shake hands because it takes hatred out the hearts. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. But the shaking has to be with intent. We just get into the ritual of it. Sayyikum, 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 sayyikum. No, there has to be that intent. So he says, make sure you have that niyyah of tabarruk and you have that niyyah of following the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Then, if you want to know the next thing, what number? 15. It goes with this one. He says, وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخِ إِذَا لَقَّاهُ وَسَافَهَهُ أَنْ يُسَلِّي عَلَى النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Beautiful. He says that when you meet your brother and you shake hands, you send salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A right of the brother, that you meet the brother, you shake their hands, and you send salah on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Honestly, brothers and sisters, that's something that really needs to become better a part of our lives. As young Muslims, we need to increase that love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And our elders used to say salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the simplest of things. Like, you forget something, send salah ala nabi. If you forget something, like, where'd you place your keys? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Simple things. You get angry, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This was passed down to us, but it's something in this generation that we've kind of lost connect with. It's something I do at the end of prayer and occasionally here and there, but it's not like part of my like regular thing. So this is a reminder for us to bring that back. That's beautiful. Alhamdulillah. Taib, inshallah. Let's read just a few more, inshallah. What number was that? Khair, inshallah. I'm going to read one more, inshallah, because it's a bit long. It's a bit long. Okay. Shh, quiet. Number 15. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخْ عَلَى الْأَخْ أَنْ يَزُورَهُ كُلَّ قَلِيبٍ مِنَ الْأَيَّامِ. One right of one sister on another sister, or one brother on another brother, أَنْ يَزُورَهُ كُلَّ قَلِيمًا مِنَ الْأَيَامِ, that you visit them. You go and visit them every few days. Every few days you go and visit them. Fafil hadith, it's mentioned in the hadith, imshi milan ud marid. I'll walk a mile to visit the sick. Amshi milain aslih data bain, bain adatain. Like, I'll walk 2 miles to rectify between two peoples. Amshi thalatha amyal zur akhan fillah. The Prophet said, I'll walk 3 miles just to visit my brother, just to visit my sister. Just visiting. This is a lost sunnah, brothers and sisters. Just showing up, ding dong. Like, what you doing? Still at my house. You could have texted or something. Yo, you gotta go back. Yeah, what's up? Go to mommy. Of course. There's too much takalluf. You know what? We've created this thing that if someone comes, I gotta cook a lamb, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. That's part of the problem. If you come over, like, you're gonna eat whatever I have, and we're gonna drink tea. That's it. Like, if there's nothing special going down, nothing special, but we'll just chill together. Why? Because it's just beautiful for you to come over, show up, and just have that relationship. But what happens? We live in this kind of like an individualist society where I want to walk, I want to be on the train in my own world, I want to be walking down the street in my own world, I want everything on my own, and you interfering in my personal space is not what's up. The Prophet ﷺ did not create a society like that. The Prophet ﷺ created a society where people visited each other. They felt welcome to visit one another. Ayo, this is... I'm going to read a few more narrations, inshallah. وَفِيهِ أَيْذًا The Prophet ﷺ said, this is a beautiful hadith, and I'll give you the taqreej of it. Imam Al-Khatib Baghdadi, he narrated it, so it's not that authentic. But the hadith says, الزائر أخن أخاه في بيته الأكل من طعامه أرفع درجة من مطعم. The one who goes to visit someone at their house and eats from their food has a higher level than the one feeding. Weak narration, but it has a lot of implications if you think what it's saying. Think about the meaning there. That person is going out of their way, what? To take time out. The biggest thing is, what does everyone say? I'm too busy. Oh, I haven't seen you so long. Yeah, I was just really busy. What does busy actually mean? Other priorities over you. That's all busy means. I found time to do other stuff, but there were other things a bit more important than you. That's what busy means. So what this hadith is saying, that the one who takes out that time and just comes to the house, man, okay, they text first. I'm coming through. Right? So Subhi, I'm coming through, all right, this weekend. All right. You don't be like she said, don't open the door. I'm going to be like, you know, I see the lights on in there. Just messing around. Okay, I want to read a few more narrations. It's beautiful because we see this in so many narrations, and a specific one from Imam Shafi'i. It's narrated, وَقَدْ كَانَ إِمَامُ شَافِعِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ يَزُورُ تَلْمِيذَهُ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلٍ كَثِيرًا وَيَزُورُهُ الْآخِرُ كَذَلِكَ. Imam Shafi'i used to go and regularly visit Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal used to regularly go back and visit Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. Someone asked him, and then they would recite poetry about the virtues of meeting one another and going to visit each other. Many narrations that talk about the importance of it. And one last thing that the author says, he says, قلت زيادة الإخوان لا تزيد في الدين إلا مع لزوم أدب الزيارة. He goes, wait. He's going to end it with this. He goes, visiting will only increase love when you obey the adab of visiting. So there are certain etiquettes of visiting, like, that you should always keep in mind. Some of them may be not showing up out of nowhere. Like, that may be an adab. So we won't go into those etiquettes right now. But Imam Sha'rani wants us to understand that this quality of increasing love by visitation is something that will only increase love when we follow the etiquettes that go along with that. The idea, brothers and sisters, is create these communities of love and and where we know each other and we regularly visit each other, we know each other, our kids play together, our families are so tight. You know, we have that relationship with one another. It's something that's very important, and this is what Imam Sha'rani is saying, that is necessary for a Muslim community to have. Khair. That is the last one I wanted to talk about, inshallah ta'ala. I kind of wanted to open it up for a discussion. I'll do one more because it's very easy, inshallah. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ. What number is this? 17. Haq number 17. وَمِنْ حَقِّ الْأَخِ عَلَى الْأَخِ. Majid, you listening? مَسَاعِدَتُهُ فِي التَّزْوِيجِ وَقَدْ ذَكَرُوا أَنَّ الْإِعَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ إِعَانَةِ الْغَزَاتِ وَالْمُكَاتِبِينَ إِذْ هُوَ أَفْضَلْ نَوَافِلِ الْخَيْرَاتِ. He says, one right of a brother on another brother, a sister on another sister, is to help the person get married. And then he says, it's narrated in some narrations that it's more beneficial or rewarding to help a brother or sister get married. You listen to Majid? Right? To help a brother or sister get married than to even help someone fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the best of all khayrat nawafir, tazweej. So this is number 17. He doesn't go into much detail. He kind of drops that one right there. But I kind of wanted to just leave it on that note. Seriously, just that's a good place to end it off. Help each other. Don't become hindrances, you know? Help each other, you know? Reach out. You know someone, you know? Reach out, inshallah. It's good. It's beautiful. Yes. Well, do you have family members that you know? Do you know anyone that's suitable? You just got to go through your phone book. You just got to, you know. So sometimes you know someone who you think is a very good match for another person, and you have a connection, then you help them out and establish that connection through the proper Islamic means of that. No other questions? Any comments? Okay, regarding anything else we talked about, let's recap. Munir, can you go over the ones we did today, inshallah?
Yes, number 11, you praise them in their absence and you praise them in their presence.
Okay, so we talked about that. That's very important. Self-esteem, people need that. So in their presence, but even more so, he went into more detail about praising in absence. Okay, praising in people's absence increases that love. Go ahead.
Number 12, you honor them when they come and meet you. Give them a smile, put an arm around them or around their shoulder and give them a place to sit.
The idea is that show joy when you meet your brother or sister. Show joy. You may be having a horrible day. You may be having a bad day. But atabassam fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. Right? That smile, that the smile in the face of your brother is a sadaqa. Because regardless of what he's feeling, when you smile in that face of that person, it does bring a kind of joy to that person. Okay?
Number 13, you make room for them in your gathering when you see them.
Beautiful hadith about our body's ability to communicate emotion and feeling even more so than the words and our inflections. You good? You good? You good? Right? Our inflections, nonverbal communication, is strong as or stronger than verbal communication. Next one, I'm done anyway. Sorry.
Number 14, you shake their hand every time you meet them with an intention.
Yes, so two things there. There were two different, that was one. Yes, which is shaking hands regularly. And remember the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is he would shake hands first and he would hold the hand. He would hold that person's hand. He would be there with the person until that person let go, showing his immediacy with that person and showing his ability to connect with that person and vibe with that person. And yes, so that is something in some of the cultures which is prevalent today, that even at the time of shaking hands, you shake hands and send salawat on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in general, I was saying that sending salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that this generation needs to up their game on. Seriously, this sending salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, idan yakfi hammuk, right? The hadith was like, all of your worries are taken away through your salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salah al-Nabi, just so you guys know, is one of the only ibadah that is guaranteed acceptance. Prayers on the Prophet ﷺ is one of the only ibadah that is guaranteed acceptance. Because it's a dua for someone else. Right? So this is something that really we need to up. Yeah, man. We need to up our game on. All right, the next one. Yeah, Ali had a question. Stop. Well, see, most people, if they weren't in this gathering, they're going to think you're weird. Unless they're Sudanese. Yes, there you go. Exactly. SubhanAllah. I'm with you. Yes, definitely.
Number 16, that you visit them every few days.
Yes, visiting regularly. Create those environments where we text first, maybe. Right? And say, yo, I'm coming through for a few minutes. They say, yo, I don't have any food. Don't worry, no food. Again, one of the reasons why we're not visiting as much is because we're doing so much formalities with every visit. If we could just have a quick visit with tea, we would visit more. But because we set this standard that every time someone comes, we have to slaughter a lamb and roast it, that's why we don't visit so much. Yes, I know. Oh, can you not? Oh, no, please stop. Okay, and that was it?
Last one.
I thought Majid is married. Yo, he's got guts, yo. Majid has guts, mashallah. Okay, can you, I'm sorry. Qasim, go to mommy, please. Okay, khair, inshallah. Any questions, comments on whatever we, yes. Hold on to the hand. Not like they're pulling away, but when he felt the person was ready to let go, then he let go. But he wouldn't let go first. SubhanAllah. That's beautiful. Wallahi, you study the Prophet's ability to communicate emotion and love to the people around him is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Allah give us tawfiq. Khair, that's it?
So if I call somebody, especially if somebody living on some other part of the country,
yeah.
Do I still get the reward of visiting?
Not quite. But there is obviously reward reaching out to the person. But actually going to someone's house, sitting down face to face, phone away or in the car, like this has a powerful effect in bonding, like just being together in that. And we don't do it. It's such a big deal. And it shouldn't be such a big deal just to come over, chill out, hang out, and be together for a bit. So with that, we're going to end this halaqa. And part of tonight is after we pray our Salatul Isha, we just sit for a few minutes and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala silently together. Then we chill here for a bit. Like we don't dip out right after. I understand if you have to go, you have to. But we all benefit from each other, right? So like we said, no more drive-through halakas. The drive-through halakha, I get my knowledge and I dip out. No, we don't want to do that. We want to create an environment where we get to benefit from each other's brotherhood, right? So and sisterhood. So we ask everyone to just hang out for 15, 20 minutes until you guys are ready to go, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Allah give us the ability to act upon what we've learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to create strong friendships and bring the rights of brotherhood back into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize the honor of every single believer and give them their due rights from us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Ya Allah, to give us the love for your blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask you to give us the ability to emulate him in every single way, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you to give us the ability to communicate to people the way he communicated to people positively, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa akhru da'wana an alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير إن شاء الله صلاة العشاء إن شاء الله